You walk into a room, maybe at work, maybe at a party or something like that. We find that as we go into this room, we sometimes can go in there, we can feel exhilarated, or we can feel drained. What is the difference? The fact is that perhaps you walked in with control of your own energy and deciding where your energy was going to go, or you walked in there just not paying any attention to where your thoughts were, and you get in there and all the people that are around you are sucking off your energy, per se. Your thoughts are going here, your thoughts are going there, they're thinking this of you, and you're wondering about yourself, you're losing your self-image and all these things, and all of your thoughts are being scattered, and people are taking your energy. You're giving it to them, actually. Nobody takes anything. Nobody can take your energy. Nobody can steal your energy. They can attempt to if you open the door. If you open the door, then this can all be chaos. So we have that dynamic choice at all moments to control our attention, to control our energy. If we know that our energy comes, is our energy is controlled by where our attention is. So as we state it very frankly and direct, where our attention is where we are. And even books like, You Think and Grow Rich, your success books and all of this, Napoleon Hill makes the one key point in there. We become what we think about. Why is that? Because we're going where our energy is. And where's our energy? It's where our thoughts are. So it's the dynamic control of our thoughts. Where they're going. It's like they're just, if you could see what happens to your thoughts, follow what happens to your thoughts, you'd be totally amazed. Absolutely amazed. Because they may be going someplace and creating and attaching themselves to a like vibration and bringing back to you, and this is what happens on the negative aspect of it, bringing back to you a negative impact simply because of your negative thoughts. Because like attracts like. We know this, we've established this as a common point. A like vibration can only attach itself to another like vibration. So when we're in control of our thoughts, we think positive thoughts, we think happy thoughts. What does it do? It reaches out and attaches itself to another happy thought, another positive thought, and reinforces ours. Same thing happens on the negative side. If we're thinking negative thoughts, it goes out of the thought strata and it connects itself to a like vibration, a like thought, and returns it. Because of this dynamic law of cause and effect that we're all attached to, that we're all a part of, we have no control over the law of cause and effect, but we do have control of what we send out. Because we know what we send out is what we will get in return. As you read, so shall you sow, and as so on in the Bible, we've all read this. But we wonder what it means. It simply means where our attention is where our power is. So if we pay attention to God, just literally pay attention to God, like I heard people talk about it, right? Think about God in the morning. And it sets my day off right. But what have you done? You've sent out a thought vibration that has gone out and attached itself to the supreme vibration, and on the return current, you get that uplifted. So the power comes in the concentration, the focus of this thought. And this focus of your thought will bring it back to you. Now, if we get and sink our thoughts down into the emotional strata, down into the emotions, then what happens is we're reaching out, we're touching everybody else's emotions with our emotional thoughts. We've taken our thoughts from the will chakra, or the thinking mind area, and we've sunk it down even another octave into the emotions. Then we're sending it out, we're transmitting it through this emotional level. So what's happening? Same law works, where we send this thought out, we send this emotion out, and it attaches itself to like emotions, and it returns you the same thing. So we can send anything we want, and know that we'll get that return. We establish this, and we establish this firmly in our mind. It gives us dynamic control of what we think about, because then we can have to take responsibility. Even getting away and free of charge here, you see, because we just send it out, and it comes back, whatever. Back, fine, it's okay. Then we don't worry about it, then when things happen to us that are negative, then we wonder why they've happened, this, that, and the other, just write it off, well, that's the way the college won't work, that's the way the good Lord works, some get it, some don't. Now we get away with that only so long through ignorance. But when we realize that we have full control over our thoughts, over our accepted because of the knowledge. Then we have mastership. Mastership comes upon the responsibility. No one can achieve mastership in their life without taking responsibility for who they are. That's all we have to do. Take responsibility for who we are. Because in the dynamic realization of this, then we know that we affect every individual that's around us. And when we start realizing that our duty, it's our foremost duty to touch people with positive emotions, with positive thoughts, then we take responsibility for it down to the passage. Because when we start sending it out and we start receiving it, and our power increases in that area, and our light increases, then we have the ability to touch people with our light. As we think about emotions and how it's interesting now, because one of the big things in talk radio is you know, shrinking everybody on the air, letting everybody get out there and spill their guts out on the air, to use a very common phrase of what they're doing. People are tuning into this and listening to this on a mind scale. Some people say that they're helped by this, which I'm so, but for the most part, it's become a dumping ground for people to dump their emotions on other people. They're doing it and using the mass media to do this. Now, there's been an increasing, you might say, people relying on the psychiatrist and psychologist now, more so it's more accepted for people to go out to the psychiatrist and psychologist now because of this mass radio. And what is happening now is people are realizing that they can't, somebody's giving them the license. Somebody's giving them the license to go out and dump on people. We don't have the right to do this. There's nothing wrong with if we're feeling something wrong inside. We need some help to go to someone who has worked through that body, to go to the master, go to the teacher. But this is something that you go to someone who you know has mastered that, who has mastered that situation that you're dealing with. To go to that person, you can't gain help from it. To go and dump that problem on someone who's just a friend, who might be able to help you out, then you've done just that. You've dumped it on them. You're free of it, perhaps. You may have let go of it, because you've let go of that negative energy. But you've given it to another person. So the responsibility of our life, the responsibility of our thoughts, our emotions, are very, very important. And we stress this because we've seen it work. And as you spend more time working with your attention, where your attention is, where your energy is, you'll have realization after realization about how you have been just letting it leak out. How if you can gather it all up, take this mana from heaven, this life force that comes to us moment by moment, second by second, we're being bombarded with these atoms, the prana energy, if you wish to call it. There's many names for it. This energy is coming to us every split second of our being that's on this physical plane. And we only have to realize that when we gain control of this and harness this, it's like when the men, the scientists, and the women scientists finally harness a new kind of energy, all of a sudden they have, wow, they have this new kind of energy. All they have done is taken the energy that already exists and learned how to focus it. And they have a dynamic new channel of energy. This is what we're doing with our lives. We're getting control of this force that sustains us and learning how to use it for the betterment of our own life, for the betterment of everyone we touch. So I'll leave off at this point and then I'll share.
Energy, forces, powers. As you build energy, it gains forces, and forces become power. Now we will continue the discourse.
You will find that you start getting more energized. You get more of your consciousness. As this energy builds, it becomes forces. As these forces
for the disruption. interruption in this tape, but we will continue now.
Under any circumstance, that is power. And you can be joyful in a disastrous situation, like the yoga, he's being chased by the lion. Notices he's going down the cliff, there's a tiger down at the bottom of the cliff with his mouth open and ready to grab him. He looks over at the cliff and he's going down and sees a flower and he says, "Oh, what a beautiful flower." Now that's redirecting the attention. And many of us wouldn't have that ability without
by that. penetration pierced the wall. We could throw buckets of water on all day, but a few icicles might poke right through that wall. You see what I mean? Because we concentrated something that falls all over the place, like the water, and we concentrated into a form, into some form. Concentration's also like if we had a rock out by our house. Now, when I lived on a farm, I don't know about you, but I lived on a farm. And over by where the rain things came off the roof, we put a rock under there. And we noticed that the rain made holes in the rock. I got this awareness. If we took a bucket of water out and we threw it on a rock, at the end of the year, we may have a wet rock and muddy ground. But if we take this same bucket of water and we put a little tiny hole in the bottom of it, and it drips drop by drop on that rock, at the end of the year, you'd have a hole in the rock because you have a concentrated repetition of attention. Attention in one location. That's how you make the breakthrough. Concentration makes the breakthrough, gives it focus. So attention frees your energy, concentration gives it power or force. Now we're not talking about the force of the intellect and will, we're talking about the power and force and energy of emotion. This power of emotion can change a crowd of simple people into a mob of hanging people that want to hang somebody because someone gets really emotional and strikes some emotional chord in the other individuals. And you've seen mass consciousness being controlled by emotional energy. Get a comedian up on stage in front of an audience, and through his emotional outpouring, he begins to control the audience's emotional body. Get a politician, an orator, a teacher, someone in the public eye with emotion, and you can whip a whole country into a frenzy, into the wrong direction. I noticed there's a lot of things and the Second World War and that going on in the television and stuff now. But if you notice, when Hitler, the sound of your voice, the emotions are brought through sound and the move of sound. The impression you get is from the movement of sound. Thank you. So key to emotional content is sound. If you listen to the sound of an individual when they're talking to you, you will get their emotional content. Don't be misguided by the words. Now in Zen Buddhism, we had a particular exercise where we simply concentrated on the sounds of individuals. And we would center our attention and concentration in such a way we would filter out their words. We'd filter out their actions. The first thing, we didn't look directly at the individual when we listen to their sound, because you get caught up in all the hand gestures and physical movements and suggestions. So we would look off and catch them in the peripheral. Catch them in peripheral sight. So that was the first way of looking at the individual, listening to their sound. Then we would pay attention to how we were being impressed by the feeling of the sound coming from their voice. Is it impressing you as happy, sad, willing, non-willing, anger, love, truth? All of that, by concentrating on the sound, you can pick up all of those various areas of consciousness. So this week, listen to your sound, the sound of your voice, when you're saying something. Are you really convinced when you say that? You know, you can tell when somebody's convinced when they're saying something, when they're confident in it, when they have a doubt or a fear or something that is holding them up from expressing it. Hesitation. Listen to how they interrupt the sounds. Smooth, calm, flowing sounds are smooth, calm, flowing emotions. Interrupting, jolting sounds are interrupting, jolting emotions. affirmations, you put the mental voice and the physical voice in unison when you are making the affirmation. It simply means when you're saying it verbally that you're also thinking it mentally. Mental suggestion is the most powerful and most impressive. Mental suggestion is the most powerful and the most impressive. Without it, no other type of suggestion works. Whether it's implied suggestion through words, intellect, whether it's physical suggestion through gestures, you know, it's a stop. People, when you're talking to them, they'll do this, or they'll cut it, or they'll make a gesture at you, or wave you off, or okay, or mustn't do that, to shake their finger or something. Don't get caught up in all those gestures when you are aware of those emotional sounds when you first begin. But later you will see how your body language is expressing what the emotions is giving it. Body language comes from emotional impression. And you make your gestures there. Did you ever see a New York cab driver? Hey, he's out there waving his fist and yelling and making motions, banging on the wheel. Get out of the way, you know, he's really moving frantically. But that is all in response to his emotional content. So physical actions cannot happen without emotional content. So emotions is a very important part of this second level. Another important part of the second level is that subconscious mind, that astral plane. The subconscious has all of your conditioned reactions and your habit patterns in. Now, habit patterns is what you put in, consciously and in control. Preferably in control, and preferably conscious that you make this habit. But some habits that you think are habits are not. They are conditioned reactions. Now, conditioned reactions are put into the subconscious by persons, places, and things, by time, space, and circumstance. By persons, places, and if you burn your finger, you get convicted. Now, what about the Fiji firewalkers? Now, they must have programmed their subconscious mind differently because they walk across the fire coals. Sometimes the rocks are still glowing. Now, I was talking to this Fiji firewalker over in Hawaii once, and I asked him, you know, how did this all come about? Well, what happened in Fiji, there was a volcanic eruption. And there was this great malevolent priest, or kahuna, or master of the secret sciences. And there was a lava flow coming down, and it split. And right where the split was, in the center, a woman had fell, and she had a baby in her arms. Now there was about 10 feet across this lava flow. This kahuna immediately made friends with the fire god, so to speak, with that element, fire, and he got the impression that it was okay for him to do good and save this woman. So he run across the lava flow. And as he run across, he had his secret mantra or secret words that he said. He chanted this as he went across, picked up the woman, and carried the woman and child back across the lava flow, and that was the first instance of the fire walking. Then he taught others to have that same type of faith, to walk across the fire, and we have the Fiji firewalkers. Well, after these Fiji firewalkers, which there was a dozen of them, demonstrated in Hawaii, they walked across the fire, they all laid down on their back and put their feet up for everyone to see. Now, the first thing I got to comment from several people, they probably have really put a lot of calluses on their feet. And to stop that kind of consciousness, these Fiji firewalkers put their feet up and had the people touch them. You know, those feet had no calluses on them. They were soft, and they were just like the palms of your hands. It was amazing how smooth and soft those feet were. And we went and felt each one, and they weren't different than other people's feet. It's the consciousness and the programming in your subconscious mind.
you've been programmed by failure, by seeing failure in your mother, your father, those around you, in your subconscious mind, you have a love for mother, father, and those around you, so you're trying to support them, you are also supporting failure. Understand how these things get into the subconscious mind. You say, oh, okay, that's okay, Mom, yeah, you did that wrong, but that's okay because of this and that. The next thing you know, if you fail, you will find yourself failing. Your father says, you will find yourself failing by agreeing with failure. Now, you can love mother, but hate the failures that have come upon them. And you'll get into this love and hate and cause a duality again. So you have to watch this duality. If you're going to have a free will choice, you should either choose darkness or light, joy or sadness. The choice is always yours. And you should make this choice clear to your subconscious mind. I no longer wish to go through this. I know it. I void it. I no longer need it. I'm giving it a strong impression. I know this. I void it. I no longer need it. I let go and let God. Now, this is an act of faith and an act of cutting away those lines that go out from us that stick on those areas of consciousness, stick on those subjects, stick on those persons, places, things, time, space, circumstances, and string us out. Because your subconscious mind can get all strung out. And do you know why it's strung out? It isn't strung out because it's here present. It's strung out because it's over the past and not present, or off into what may be so rather than what is. So it can be what has been or what may be so, and you lose the present. In your subconscious mind, you must make it paramount to be here now. We do positive affirmations like, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am, am, I am. You notice we're getting a rhythm to it. Rhythm correlates chaos. Rhythm brings a chaotic energy into harmonious energy. Chaotic vibrations or random vibrations can be brought into harmony through rhythm. And rhythm is one of your greatest programming tools to impress the subconscious mind. And so, how many times did you notice your attention was stuck on a particular phrase, a particular action, a particular awareness this last week? Stuck attention is karma. It's whether it's bad karma or good karma, karma means stuck attention or where the energy is bound up. And it can be good or bad, both of them you have to transcend. You can't be bound. I am a karma-free being. Now, how did I become a karma-free being? When I heard about being karma-free, I immediately wanted it. I had to give up all the bad things, then I had to give up all the good things, too, because I had to give up the duality. And another thing I had to do, I had to stop doing anything for myself. You create the karma by directing the energy and concentration towards yourself. You hook it onto yourself. Your personality, your thinking, your feeling, your actions. And you're saying it's mine, it's I, it's me. Well, enough of those minds, they'll start blowing up, I'll tell you. And you get those minds in the subconscious, and they fall down in there, mine, mine, mine. The next thing you know, they blow up on you, and you don't have unity because you have separation, and you push everything else away. And so you have to be careful of how that direction and concentration, how the attention is going, how the concentration is going, so you can get your direction and focus. Direction and focus. So, fixation, concentration, suggestion. You fix on the affirmation, you concentrate on the affirmation, you take the suggestion of the affirmation. You're agreeing to it. It is your desire to be that way. Now, in this second plane of orange flame energy is also your desire body. Now, the wise know to have limited desires. There's nothing more scattering than to walk into a building or shop or business of some sort and don't know what you want, but you want everything. That's scattered. Completely out of control. No success. You have to determine what you're going to get. So desire can scatter your attention and your energy, your focus, and these desires will become the moving aspects of your actions and support your action, what you desire. Now, if you keep telling yourself that you're a rotten person, that is your desire to be a rotten person, and you keep putting yourself into the time, space, and circumstances to be rotten. And rotten things will happen to you because you have rottenness in you. If you have goodness in you, only good can happen to you. Fixation, concentration, suggestion of good brings good to that subconscious mind. Fixation, concentration, and suggestion of negatives bring negatives to that subconscious mind and to that desire body. So you have to watch how you're pre-programming your desires. Now, you notice how I was saying rhythm. Now, you may say at 9 o'clock in the morning, you don't desire a certain thing. Then you may say it about noon, then you may say it at 1 or 2, then you may not say it till 7 o'clock at night. That isn't in a harmony, that isn't in a rhythm. That is a chaotic programming of something. It isn't in a harmony on a scheduled repetition, you see. And so this is the way we program chaotic support into our subconscious minds, which has gaps in some areas and jamming up in other areas. Some areas are very intense, some areas are very weak in our subconscious mind. One time we can really handle that problem, the anger or impatience, and another time we can handle that emotion. We just go off because we have this chaotic programming. So you have to replace it with a block of positive, harmonious repetitions of desire forms to the subconscious mind. Now what happens? When this impression comes in, it goes over your nervous system, goes up the spine in a charge of energy, goes into the brain, it goes into a cell in the brain, where there's 40 trillion cells, into that particular area of the brain, and it leaves an ingrain, a pattern on that cell. And the more you do it, the more cells are created with that ingrain or that pattern. And so you may have said something over and over and over again. You have many cells with many ingrains, and now when something comes up in your world, the only way you can respond is to have it programmed in the subconscious mind. If you don't have something programmed there, you get startled, you get shocked, you get stopped. That's why these things happen. Startled, shocked, it's because you don't have a response. You haven't responded to it before. Now you may have to think of a response. You see? Because you don't have prior proper programming to prevent poor performance. That's the seven P's. Okay? You haven't prior proper planning to prevent poor performance. A boxer doesn't say, okay, I'm going to be a boxer, and jumps up in the ring and fights somebody. He goes through a programming of punches and actions and this to program his subconscious mind to react a certain way towards another individual. You see? A secretary, a lawyer, a doctor, a housewife, a teacher, a minister, a healer, has to have prior proper planning in their subconscious mind. They have to put the blocks of energy in there. I am a success. I am a success. I am a success. I am a success. 5 minutes of repetition of I am a success overcomes months, sometimes years, of I'm a failure. I shall never succeed. Oh my, which doesn't come in repetition, which doesn't come in equal intervals, which does not come in harmonious energies, and so you have a chaotic structure or pattern in the subconscious mind that keeps you chaotic, off-center, out of balance, not in control, not responsible. now you want to put responsible power blocks of positive energy in the subconscious, in that desire body. So now your desires will draw to you the person and the places and the things to fulfill it. Now, how many times have you contradicted your programming? Dear God, you know I need this automobile. I need this automobile to go to work. I need this automobile in case of emergency. I need this automobile to go to the store to take my kids here or my husband there or my wife there or to do this or that with it. But God, you know I don't deserve it. How many people have blocked the prayer by a negative affirmation at the end of the prayer? If you don't deserve it, you don't deserve it. The last is first, and the first is last. When you go to get that power of that prayer, the last thing is first. I don't deserve it comes first. It's the last thing you said. Now look at that. Because you're looking towards the past, and the last thing that happens is the first thing you see. Take a look at this consciousness. When you're looking in your subconscious mind, the freshest things are what you will see first. When you put a fresh thought form into your subconscious mind, I love God, praise you God, I'm with you today, thank you for another day, do your attunements in consciousness, you're putting positive energies in the subconscious mind. During the day, they're fresh and they'll come up first. You see, they'll have power, they'll have force, they'll have energy. Energy, forces, power. They will build in you. And so that's why we do those positive affirmations in a repetition, in a chanting. And we say it mentally as well as verbally. And so we're instructing that desire body, that subconscious mind, those emotions in a positive way for success. I will persist till I succeed. 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 I will persist. I succeed. I am a success. I am a success. I am a success. I am a success. Om Tat Sat Om. Om Tat Sat Om. Om Tat Sat Om. I am the Ram. I am the Ram. I am the Ram. I am. I am the Ram. I am the Ram. I am the Ram. I am. I am the Ram. I am the Ram. I am the Ram. I am. See, that positive repetition is one steady energy in your subconscious mind. Now you have blocks of positive, directive forces in your consciousness. Now you may have to do this several times to build up the ingrains over what you've done over the years. Your programming didn't start yesterday, last week. It started when you were born and you entered as spirit into this body and came into this dimension. As a spirit, individualized, you took on this physical existence. You came into the womb, which is attuned to your spirit. You came into the womb of your mother, that's attuned to your spirit. The spirit consciousness dies, earth consciousness comes aware. And at that point, then we are to learn to go back to that heavenly consciousness. So when we go in the tomb, that is the womb of spirit. Notice how that's reversed. Now to the ego, the womb is the enter of life. But to spirit, that's the death of eternal life to transitory life. You see? And when we die from this transitory life, we go to eternal life. Isn't this wonderful? We have this cycle. Because we can move into time, space, and circumstance. Well, I'm eternal right now. I'm present now. I've never been any other time. I've never been any other place. And any other circumstance, I've always been now. I've always been a present consciousness. Even when you look in the past, you are presently looking at the past. Anytime you look in the future, you're presently looking at the future. You have never been any place but now, the present. And any other thing has created an illusion, meaning programming to your subconscious mind, your desire body, to your emotions. It's giving negative programming there. It's giving you illusions. Now these illusions will destroy your ability of image and your ability to create a clear image or to see clairvoyantly or to have clear awareness. Because you must take and go through the subconscious mind with the conscious mind and join them together to reach the super conscious mind that is always aware, perfect, whole and all, now present. The super conscious mind is ever present. It is not bound by time, space, or circumstance. The subconscious mind is not bound by time, space, or circumstance. Everything that's ever gone on is still going on in that subconscious mind. Everything you have felt, everything your senses have given you, all your thoughts, your actions, your intelligence, and everything that you've had association with in this life is all there in your subconscious mind. Look at this tremendous storehouse of power and energy you have there. You know, if you've ever seen a greatness in anybody, the greatness had to be there in you already, or you could have not have seen it anyplace else. If you see a negative in anybody else, it's because it's in you, or you would not see it anyplace else. Isn't it wonderful when we find an enlightened being that we think that, oh, they're going to be all upset because they didn't do this and do that, and then you come and they love you and they're accepting you and they're not holding anything about it. They're right here, right now. They don't know anything about the past or what you're going to do. It's right now with you. And they love you now, and their love is ever present. It's an omnipresent power, you see. And it's amazing when we reach and meet that state of consciousness and those beings that have reached that state of consciousness. But it is not a mass conscious quality. And in order for you to have extraordinary powers, you must come out of mass conscious programming. Now we suggest that you do not watch the television, you do not read the papers, and you do not listen to the radio in this next week. That is all mass consciousness programming. You need to withdraw your consciousness from those things, those suggestions that have impressed you. It's quite impressive when you see a military force destroying another military force on the news, enough to shake your foundation and make you a little insecure. Are we going to be next? So you start thinking. And then we start getting fears and doubts in our surroundings and the presence and in what may be so gets us. Well, that's what's happened in the past, and it's going to happen again. Well, if it's happened in the past, it's gave you the present. Whatever you've done has given you the power to now. And whatever you do now gives you your future. So by being present in that desire body, in that subconscious mind, in those emotions, being present in them, you now get a control over your destiny. A lot of people would like to do what they want to do, go where they want to go, be what they want to be, see what they want to see. I do that. As an individual, I do that. And I've been doing that only for a few years. Before that, I was like everyone else, bound up in that old mass consciousness, taking all those suggestions of death, disease, and suffering. How many times do you hear about wealth, health, and happiness, and the abundance of all good things on the news hour? In the newspaper, on the radio. Do they call up and say how wonderful it is, what a wonderful day, what a wonderful person so-and-so is, how wonderful it is to be alive and all this? On the talk shows, no, you're not hearing that kind of thing. On the news, you're not hearing those kind of things. You are getting bombarded with negative verbal suggestions. Verbal suggestions. And if you take it to your mental body, it becomes a mental suggestion. The mental suggestion is the most powerful to impress that subconscious mind. If you take it in your mind and think about it, you're impressing your subconscious mind. You're putting that programming into your body. It is becoming a physical, tangible thing in a cell of your brain. And so your thoughts are things, your feelings are things, and they do become part of this physical, just as the food you eat becomes the physical. We don't think that these are carrots or pieces of celery or lettuce or tomatoes or, you know, whatever we're eating when we look at our body. This is flesh and blood. What are you talking about? No, it's carrots and it's celery and it's, you know, it's all these things. It really is. And so what you are feeding this this desire body, what you're feeding this emotional body, what you're feeding these this subconscious mind, is the way that body is building. So if you feed it positive affirmations, it becomes strong and healthy. If you feed it death, disease, and suffering, it becomes weaker and gets into death, disease, and suffering. So that's the simplicity of programming that. Now you have, we've talked about in this second level, our emotions, we've talked about our subconscious mind, we've talked about our desire body. Now we have another important part of this second level. It is our dream state. Dreams can give us a great insight to our emotional content and our state of being. Now when you are in an aggressive energy or assertive energy, your dreams will be symbolic. All dreams will come to you symbolic. If you are an aggressive, assertive person, your dreams are symbolic. If you are a passive, open person, your dreams will come as actual persons, places, and things. Now, in the aggressive state, a brother may be may represent something that brother does in your dream, may just represent a reflection of a habit pattern in you. It may not even have anything to do with your brother. It may all be to you. And so then the brother in that dream would be symbolic. But if you are a passive individual, an open individual, practicing peace and those kind of things, and you see your brother in your dream, it would be actual. What went on would be actual. Most people in the United States get symbolic dreams. And they're going to all kinds of dream interpretation books, symbology and that, to decipher their dream states. But when you get on the path and you start practicing the calming of your emotions, bringing peace to your subconscious, bringing your desires into control and limitation, because the first law to manifestation is limitation. If you're going to manifest anything, you must limit your consciousness to it. The first law to manifest anything is limitation. You must limit yourself to it. If you're going to manifest spiritual powers, you must limit yourself to it. Take yourself out of this mass consciousness with all of its suggestions, its fads, all of its disasters, its disease, its suffering, all its ideal American dream and all of these things. You know, the old American dream was, oh, to have a car and a house and furniture. Would you go tell them, please, to hold it down? To have a car, to have a house, to have furniture. To have your kids go to college, to have a good position, to have money in the bank, be able to travel. This is the American dream. We were all to shoot for this at one time. Back in the 50s, look how many were shooting for it. And some of those jobs, some of those individuals that were trained in that, they had such programming in that area. When that area collapsed and there was no function for them, they lost their dreams. They lost their house. They lost their car. They lost their positions. They lost their status. They lost their consciousness, you see. Because their dreams were not under control. Now, there's two types of dreaming I'm going to discuss here. One type is conscious dreaming. Now, a lot of you have done that, daydreaming. You're there working, dreaming about what you're going to do off on your vacation. That means you're feeling, oh boy, it's going to be really great getting out there, out by the lake, camping out. It's really great, oh boy, I'm going to be fishing. And there you're running your old duplicator, or you're typing, or you're filing something, or you're handling this object or that object, or you're doing something in physical labor. And your mind is off in your dreaming state, so they're daydreaming. I remember the teacher saying, you're supposed to be in this room paying attention to what I'm saying. Don't be looking out the window. I'd always be looking out the window thinking, boy, when I get home, man, I'm going to be climbing up in the rafters in the barn and diving down in the hay and riding the horse and doing, you know, doing all the things I like to enjoy at home. And so when I was in school, I couldn't wait to get home and have a good time because school wasn't a good time to me. It was having to sit there and be quiet and not say anything and listen and do everything the teacher said or get punishment. And if you didn't go to school, you were in trouble and, you know, and you would never be, they pounded into you, you'll never be nothing if you don't go to school. I'm not even going to know. If you don't get programmed like everybody else, you're not going to have the same opportunity as everybody else. Well, I'll tell you, fight for some underdogs, but the people follow leaders. They don't follow underdogs. You see, we may fight for the underdogs, but they follow leaders. They follow people that are extraordinary. They magnify the people. They reward the people that are extraordinary. They don't reward the common person, the underdogs. They reward those who are extraordinary. Now, if you want extraordinary powers, you have to develop your extraordinary powers, because now you're developing mass consciousness powers. And in your dream state, this is important when you're going into your dream state at night, that you program the direction you want to go in your dreams. Where do you want to go in that dream state? What do you want to come up in that dream state? There was one man, a businessman, and he had his greatest successes because just as he was going off to sleep, if he had a problem in the business or something he wanted to solve, he'd give it to his dream state, he'd give it to his subconscious mind, he'd think about it, and then he'd let it go. But next to his bed, he had a paper and pad, and many times in the middle of the night, he would be coming up out of this dream state with the idea or the consciousness or that which would give him a solution. Mark Twain got a lot of his ideas, like for Tom Sawyer, he got that in a dream state, woke up in the middle of the night and wrote out the outline for it, the characters and everything, went back to sleep. In the morning, he woke up and said, wow! Have a pencil and paper next to your bed and ask your subconscious mind to release the powers of that. Ask for new insight, new perception. Let spiritual powers come into your dream state. Now you have physically orientated dreams, emotionally orientated dreams, mentally orientated dreams, psychically orientated dreams, creative orientated dreams, individual orientated dreams, universal orientated dreams, spiritual orientated dreams. Here's a man, and he has a bunch of brothers. His brothers beat him up, and they throw him down in a well. Along comes the caravan, they pull him out and they enslave him. They take him to this other country where he doesn't know anything. They throw him in jail. And he's sitting in there, and he's praying to God for service to get out of there. He gets out, and he goes to work for one of these men in this country. And the man's wife says, I want you to make lunch to me. He says, no, no, this is against my religion. It's against my belief to make love to you. You're a married woman. Well, if you don't make love to me, I'm going to say you made love anyway. He says, well, I'm not going to do it. So she goes and tells her husband, he made love to me. And so off to prison he goes again. And now he's condemned to stay in prison because, see, now he's broke the law. But he really didn't break the law. And so he's in there and he's praying to God. And pretty soon, here's the leader of this country. Is this story sounding familiar to you? The leader of this country has a dream. And God gives this man insight into this dream. He gives David the insight to the dream. And what happens? When here comes to interpret the dream. And nobody can interpret it. They're afraid to say anything about it. They don't understand it. And they're afraid to say anything because if they get the wrong answer, this king has the habit of wiping them out.
You're starting to get
solidified in that. You see, that's what that means when we interpret it into action from the mythological stage, bringing it through the mystical interpretation. What happens when you first open the box, all these things start coming out. When you start looking into that subconscious mind, it's like looking into a snake pit. All of these vipers of all negatives are trying to snap at you, bite you, and put you to death. You see? But if you let the light of the eyes of Pandora reflect back on Pandora, she becomes solid and fixed. Notice that? When you let her own light reflect back on it, when you let the subconscious mind reflect upon the subconscious mind, it will become solid enough to work with in all this fluency and all of these things that are moving around like snake-like movements, now become a solid image for you to look at. Yes, I did have this particular experience. It had this circumstance to it. It isn't what I wanted it to be. It isn't what I thought it might be. It is what it is. And so many times when we look at our subconscious mind, we look saying, oh, I wish if I had another chance, I would have made it this way or that way. And we start programming in what didn't happen, and we cover up what really is the truth and what happened there by what may have been or what could have been or what somebody else might have suggested we should have done instead of or what we suggest. See how we start programming illusions into the subconscious mind? And then when we look back, we're not sure whether what we wanted was what happened or what happened happened, because in the subconscious mind, there's no difference. Whether you imagined it or had an actual experience, it's all programmed there. There was a young girl, and she came in to our center in Hawaii. And we were on King Street. And we had a little room called the Cave. The Cave was a place you could go in, and it was light-proof and soundproof. It was made soundproof for the guitar and the horn and things like this. It used to be a musical store. And so, I mean, when you went in there, all you could hear was your sound. The inner sound. You know, it's real quiet, and I can hear that ringing that made them, it's called the made them, that inner sound. Different sounds for different levels. Anyway, I took her in there. And boy, she hit that door and was out in there. I says, what's happening to you? I can't go in a dark room. I'm afraid of the dark. Okay. I'm plenty afraid of the dark. I don't know. I just not afraid of the dark. I don't want to go in the dark. I says, well, we've got to find out this problem. We're going to solve this problem. So I took her by the hand, I went in there, and left the door cracked a little bit. It was still dark, but there was some light coming in. And I began to concentrate on her because she couldn't get through what made her afraid of the dark. Here it was, as I started concentrating and penetrating at Laura, looking at her Akashic light, I picked up at age 5, her two brothers put her into a closet. I says, remember how your brothers used to tease you? She says, oh yeah, they always do. I said, do you remember when you were age 5? Oh, no, I don't remember that. I said, do you remember being in a closet when you were age 5? And her body jerked. I knew I had it. I knew she had it. Because her body jerked. The astral body will jerk. The emotional body will jerk when it doesn't want to go into something and jump back, like move back. So I felt it in her hand. She moved when I said that. I says, oh, we've got it now. What? I says, the closet. You were in a closet. It was dark in the closet. And I says, and your brothers are pounding on the door, aren't they? Yes, yes, they're pounding on the door. And she was right there. She was reliving it. Oh no! She says, Dad! Oh! She says, I'm not there. She was going back and forth like this. I said, calm yourself now, just relax. Let's look at this objectively. There you were in that closet. And your brothers are pounding on the door like, and making these sounds and scaring you, right? She says, yes, there was somebody in that closet, they touched me. That's what scared her. She backed up and a sleeve of a suit, her father's suit, touched her, and she thought somebody touched her in the closet, and she went frantic and started screaming and clawing at the door, banging on the door to get out, and the brothers kept scaring her. What a programming in the subconscious mind. Well, mother heard this and said, stop teasing your sister, let her out of the closet. They let her out and, yeah, she gets out. Mother says, oh, that's okay now, you know, here, have this. And she gave her something to eat. She gave her something to eat. So all that did was whatever she ate, the vibrations of the fear of being in there went on the food and became part of her body. And she had been recreating that energy in her body, brain cells, in her body structure. And so her whole body would respond to darkness as fear, not to be in the dark. All of a sudden her hand relaxed. And I reached over and I closed the door. And she says, you know, I'm not scared in here anymore. I'm not afraid in here anymore. She says, it's like something's been lifted off of me. This happens many times. We've had a programming way back there at age 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, before the age of conscious reasoning and being able to reflect and understand some of what's going on in our life, being able to start looking over past and future and these kind of things. You ask the little kid 5 years old, what are you going to be when you grow up? They go, oh, I don't know. I said, well, would you like to be a fireman? Oh, yeah, okay. Like, then, you know, he'll be a fireman. Would you like to be a doctor? Oh, yeah, that'd be fun. I want to be a doctor. You know, I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a nurse. I want to be this. They get something they start idolizing. Okay, what if later in life they don't get that position and they're doing something else? They may not like what they're working at, even though they're good at it and everything, and they can't figure out why they don't like it. Because back there in the programming is, oh, everybody says, oh, he's going to be a lawyer when he grows up. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, yeah, I'm going to be a lawyer. And then he gets to school and everything, and he sees what it takes to be a lawyer, and he decides, I don't want to be a lawyer. I want to be something else, right? But all that programming is there in the subconscious mind. I want to please mom and dad, but now you've got some other job. Now you're not pleasing mom and dad. You see how the programming goes? Okay, there's called a compounding of this programming that will affect your dreams, your subconscious mind, your desire body, your emotions. At age 2.5, here's this little kid. He's riding out on his tricycle. Down the ramble, he goes down the driveway. He goes around the corner and he falls over. Man, he rolls over the walk. He falls down. He hits his head on the cement right by the road. And about the moment he hits his head on the cement, some guy blows the horn. Kid comes out there. Beep! Falls down, bumps his head, crying, hurt. Goes into his subconscious mind, he runs into his mind, okay, you know, I told you not to go out there, get in the backyard, everything's going to be okay, kid. Now he's about 12 years old, he's going down the road. He's got his two-wheel bike now. He hits a rut, runs into the back of a car. As he does, he falls down, he hits his head again. About that time, somebody's coming along, beep, into his subconscious mind, fall down, bump head, hurt, beep. Now he's 30 years old, and he's down at the shopping center, and he's walking across the street. As he steps off the curb, he jars himself a little bit, and some guy goes, beep, and he says, he walks up the street, gee, I just realized I got this headache. I wonder where this headache come from. Sympathetic response to programming in the subconscious mind. Now he has a headache, and he says, I don't know where I got this headache. He jarred himself, beep. Triggered it off, the jar triggered it off, hurt head. That's part of the programming. How many times have you had those programming? I'll teach you to do that. They're not teaching you to do it. They don't want you to do it, right? I never could figure out that. My father always grabbed me and said, I'll teach you to do that. And he'd whip my tail, and I already knew how to do that, you know. I'll teach you how to cuss. And he'd whip me, and I thought, well, I knew how to cuss. He didn't teach me nothing. You see, maybe you should teach me not to cuss, you know. But I never said anything. If I said anything, I got more. But sometimes we say things. I hear people say, would you like to do this? No. No. Why are they saying no? The first thing I noticed when I went to Hawaii, they said, come over for dinner, yes? Over here they say, come over for dinner, no? They're saying no over here. Over there they're saying yes. See, you're programmed by the people around you, too. The social energies around you, mother, father around you, your teachers around you, all have put programming in your subconscious mind. You're going to start dreaming about those things. Those things
This is the end of Class 2, Part 1. Continue on Class 2, Part 2, The Orange Ray.